you let the county itself off the hook. They're the ones principally responsible, and they're talking about, you know, other people being responsible. So I think that's a point of discussion. I'm sure we'll go into that later. But
sure.
What we're talking about right now is a real crisis out there. As you know, several programs have lost accreditation out there. Several programs have that. And however, they had about 17 programs, and 10 of those programs, however, received accreditation in the approval last year. So it's not all bad out there by any stretch. But it is in dire need of I think, frankly, leadership. And I also think that the whole notion of accountability is much more than a notion. Yeah, it needs to be folks held accountable for doing their jobs out there at that facility, both on the King side and on the Drew University side.
So, Larry, I have one more short question for you before we go to Yardina. In terms of the accreditation, what does it take to actually get it back, and what does it mean if they don't have it? Can they operate? Can they stay open?
Accreditation. I was talking about program by program, and when I mentioned 10 out of 17 have been accredited in the last year, you're talking about the possibility of the entire facility losing this accreditation, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. I don't know. We talked, well, first of all, the accreditation, they could function without accreditation. For example, the Center for Medicare, the CMS, the federal oversight to this thing that provides the federal dollars, that really is not related to accreditation. They could function on that. You know, the problem is they are related. If you're not accredited, folks are less likely to give you money. You know what I mean? That's the way that works. So, but it could function that way. But there is also an opportunity if they do lose the accreditation and the overall accreditation, they could actually, in a period of time, depending on what the agreement might be, get it back. One hospital, I forgot which one it was, just recently, within the last 6 months or the last year, actually was reaccredited, so to speak, within a period of, I think, 4 months. So there is that opportunity to do that. But this thing requires some very, very fundamental kinds of things. We're not talking about form anymore here. We're talking about substantive alteration is necessary here. Substance.
Sure.
I mean, real, real thing, like real accountability, real, you know, really people being held their feet to the fire and that kind of thing. And so it's difficult because, you know, most of the time people don't purge themselves. They don't really police themselves. And so we have that's why the external thing is important. That's why the community thing, I think we'll talk about that later, is extremely important.
So let's go to Yardina. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sam and Damon, for having me on.
Yeah, so let's start a little bit with, could you give us an overview of the healthcare crisis in Los Angeles, and particularly South L.A., because we're talking about some of the highest concentration of uninsured individuals in California.
Exactly, I sure can. Just to give you a background of some of the statistics on South Los Angeles, and a lot of this comes from the research from the county themselves, we know that 50% of the people, of the families that live in the South LA area, earn less than $25,000 a year. We know that 40% don't have any health insurance. We know that 95%, 60% Latino and 35% Black, of the people who live there are people of color, which lets us know that this is one of the areas most in need of all healthcare services. So we need a full-service hospital at King Drew. So we know that there aren't any more hospitals within the South Los Angeles area. This is the only hospital in the county hospital. There are no private hospitals here serving us. We know that as part of the Department of Health Services plan to save money on their budget, they said they wanted to cut 16% of the budget at King Drew over 3 years, and they've already made a 5% cut. They laid off 300 workers, and they're looking to possibly make another 5% cut in October. So we know as another part of that plan was to close down clinics. They closed about 16 clinics. About 40% of those clinic closures happened in South L.A., an area that's void of health services. So it's a dire situation, Tammy and Damon. It's not good with the things that are coming down the pike, with the closure of the trauma center, the loss of accreditation at King Drew Hospital. We know that it's getting worse, and our organization is calling on the County Board of Supervisors to work with the community so we can get a comprehensive needs assessment and get a strategic plan that includes the community's voice and looks at the community's needs to make changes to the hospital, not the budget bottom line, because we know that these cuts won't heal. For us as community members, as grandparents, and as kids, we know that this is an issue of life and death. It's not about a budget. We're worth more than that.
So let's talk a little bit about this trauma center, because I understand that it's the second busiest in the county, and we're talking about over 2,000 patients a year. And right now it's up for a vote inside the County Board of Supervisors, so we're talking about Kanabe, we're talking about Antonovich, Molina, Yaroslavsky, and
Yvonne Burke.
And Burke, yes. And so we, prior to Friday, it looked like all five of them were going to vote coming up this Tuesday, which I believe, I mean tomorrow, on actually closing down the trauma center. And so over the weekend, Burke, Supervisor Burke is saying that let's hold off the vote. Can you talk a little bit about that? Let's start with Yardina.
Sure, I can. Our organization, Agenda, we had a community meeting with Supervisor Burke Thursday of last week, where our community got together and let her know that the community wants to insert their voice into the process and that we are against any more cuts to the hospital, including the elimination of the trauma center. And I, too, read the articles and learned that one of the key factors for her reconsidering her decision to support the rest of the board and closing the trauma center was the input of the community, community groups like ours. I'm sure there were other community groups that she was meeting with. I know I read something that said she spoke with other hospitals, private hospitals who said they could not absorb the overflow that would happen if King Drew's Trauma Center closed. So we're real glad that she changed her opinion on that situation, and we know that that's not enough. We need to know that she's willing to work with the community members, which she committed to having monthly meetings with us to continue to support the inclusion of the community's voice in the process. And we will be down at the Board of Supervisors at the Kenneth Hall Hall of Administration tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock to protest the closure of the trauma center.
Yardina, why don't you give us a phone number where people can call for more information? We'll give it again at the end, but...
Definitely. You can contact us here at the office at area code 323-789-7920. But I also want to let people know that tonight we won't be here in the office. We'll be out in front of Martin Luther King Hospital having a candlelight vigil, voicing the concerns of the community about the closure of the trauma center, the loss of accreditation, and our desire to be involved in the future of the hospital. So that is our office number. If you leave a message, somebody will get back to you ASAP. But be down there at the Kenneth Hall Hall of Administration. I think the cross streets are like Grand and Temple Street. And you'll see a bunch of folks out there, including us, Steve Harvey, who are going out there to protest the closure of this trauma center and to highlight the importance of the only hospital in South Central Los Angeles.
So, Yardina, I just wanted to ask, because I know Agenda is really famous with this kind of balance of forces chart, and you were talking about in terms of pressuring Yvonne Burke. In terms of the other supervisors, is there any kind of openings? Do you see any other splits in the board?
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that Don Kanabe is saying that if the hospital regulators are willing to give the board more time to fix some of the problems that are happening at King Drew, that he would support holding off on the closure of the trauma center. I heard that Supervisors Molina, Yaroslavsky, Antonovich are still supporting the closure of the trauma center. So right now, we're really looking towards the leadership of Yvonne Burke. We're looking for her to take leadership to really save this hospital that's in our area. So she's the one that we're really looking at. She's the one that we've met with, and we're looking for other supporting politicians like Merv Dimely, who also care about King. Merv, Assemblyman Dimely had a public hearing this morning over at King Drew at the auditorium that's right next to it, where he heard from Roger Teeks, who's the medical director over at King Drew, and a lot of other different people about what was happening. I know Jackie Goldberg was there, and other politicians were there speaking out on the issue.
So, Larry, you were talking earlier about real accountability. And in your article, you stated that it's actually the onus is on the county for the slice and dice of the medical center over the years and how they've ignored the facility and the real lack of resources that have gone into it. Could you speak more a little bit more about what real accountability could look like?
Well, I mean, I think what it looks like is that, well, let me just say first, is that if you think about it, we've had it all this time, from 73 to now, and now it's a crisis situation, and they haven't intervened in a very effective way up to now. I mean, the question is why. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a rhetorical question in a way, but it's also a very practical question because it's gotten this far. It never should have gotten this far. You know, I mean, they just haven't done the kinds of things. They do the kind of things that perpetuate, I guess, what goes on with the county. But, anyway, I think that they, the accountability thing has to do with, look, this goes from people being held accountable for, and I don't mean those dramatic cases, only those where they're leaving, you know, instruments and people and stuff like that. That's horrible, you know, kind of thing. That's nonsense. It's just bad. But I'm talking about such things as quality work, performance standards that are being held. You know, that hasn't happened in that hospital. It hasn't happened. Even in my opinion, hasn't happened at Drew. But what I'm saying to you is that I think the county, even now, the county's going to cop out, it seems to me, and put the big, in terms of DHS, the Department of Health Services, is copying out. The Department of Health Services is the one responsible for Drew. If you look at the Times article this weekend, you notice that they're talking about, well, the nurses weren't this, they weren't this, they weren't this. Other people, the physicians weren't that. Do you understand who's in charge of the county at the DCH, at King Hospital? The county of Los Angeles. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're the ones, now, and then they're talking about the, at this point, the trauma thing. I just think that's like somebody made some sort of, I was at that hearing this morning that was referenced just now, at the thing, somebody made some sort of, in some ways, I guess it was a macabre kind of analogy, but he talked about it. It was like a criminal, you know, covering his or her offense by burning the building down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the picture there, it's kind of graphic and kind of macabre. But I think that's what I'm talking about. But anyway, basically, what I'm really talking about is for example, the whole notion of whistleblowers, people who want to take care of business and they've been essentially, I think, you know, shut down in both of those facilities, as far as I can tell. You know, the job on the line yet, you're threatened with this, you're threatened with that, and you have basically an old boy system that's prevailed in both camps all this time. So it's just, as I said earlier, it's substantive. They have to go. It's not just people. For example, the Drew board recently cut down from whatever it was, 20, 30 members, one to 8 members. Well, fine, but I'd like to know who those 8 members are. Are they any different than the old members? You know what I'm trying to say? That kind of a thing. And that's the kind of thing we have to be very specific about this. But let me just for a moment comment on the other guesses, think about the supervisors. At this point, they're talking about concentrating on Bert, but remember, Bert's only one person. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I hope these other people, a couple of others, will come around. I don't know. And I think that if the hospital has to go on regardless. But I mean, I think again, it's a scapegoating almost kind of situation in order to put it all on and to try. The trauma. Believe it, and the testimony this morning, this morning, from the feds and others, was that the trauma center, you know, was without serious problems. It had some problems. All hospitals have some problems, but there were no problems of any concern to the federal government. That was testimony this morning. So I'm saying it, and they say it's not a cost saving thing here. They're saying they need to do that in order to deal with the rest of the hospital. I don't know. That's the rationale that's being given. They said if they don't do that, they call it decompressing. You remember that term they use? They need to decompress the situation in order to be able to deal. That means they cut off the trauma.
That was something like what I think Gloria Molina said last week about, you know, sometimes a body has cancer. You have to kill part of it, so part of it is taking off the trauma center so that the rest of it can live.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. Let me just say this to you, that Dr. Loudon was there, the chief surgeon from St. Francis Hospital, and that St. Francis is only 3.5 miles from it's a private hospital, of course, it's a Catholic hospital, from King Hospital, and he's saying that they really cannot absorb. They cannot absorb. They can only take, they couldn't afford to take more than one patient a day in terms of trauma. You know, trauma. Did you know what the estimate is? Did you read that? We know where the average, the estimated average cost there for a trauma patient.
Wasn't it $250,000?
Yeah, and Loudon, incidentally, from St. Francis this morning, concurred with that. So,
you were saying earlier that there are 5 county board of supervisors, and so far we believe. I mean. Supervisor Burke has said that she's going to go for at least a delay in the vote, if not looking at even the idea of closing down the trauma center. And Kanabi and Molina are situated on the other side, but they're actively saying that it needs to close down. So where, again, tomorrow's vote is not going to be the final vote. Do I understand that there still needs to be a public hearing on the issue?
They call a Bielenson hearing, going back to a Bielenson bill way back. Yeah, they have to have a public hearing to do this, to close down the facility. I mean, to take this kind of action.
And so, Yardina, can we go back a little bit in terms of where else could people, in terms of if they wanted to do something in trying to help pressure people who may have influence on any of the other 2 outstanding supervisors or even the ones who have said that they would vote against it, and Burke originally did that, but out of pressure is now changing her vote?
they should definitely call us, Tammy. We're, as you mentioned before when you were introducing my organization and the work that we're doing, we're in coalition with SEIU, the Service Employees International Union 660, and the Joint Interns and Residents Union. They're the union that represents the interns who work at the hospital through Drew University to shape the future of King Drew. So anyone who has any influence, political influence, who just wants to get involved in this fight to save this only hospital in South LA, they should definitely give us a call at 323-789-7920. And they can feel free to email me if that's better for them at yaaron@scopela.org. They should definitely feel free to do that because as the other person who was on the radio was saying, the representative from the Sentinel was saying, that this problem has historical roots. It has historical roots, and we don't feel that the community who most needs the services should be in jeopardy, should be the folks who are in jeopardy because of decisions and neglect that may have happened on the part of the board throughout time. And we were just saying, I just want to say that the Trauma Center has saved so many lives in South LA. It's one of the most prestigious units in the center, in the hospital complex. And the closure of the Trauma Center just does not make sense. We know that our critique of what's happening is that they need to redeploy staff to other parts of the hospital. As he mentioned, it is not a money issue. It's not a cost-saving issue. They're trying to redeploy the staff to other parts of the hospital. However, once again, it goes to historical changes and cuts that the Board of Supervisors have made. They already cut 300 staff persons with a reduction of their budget. So it's no surprise to us that they're short on staff. And their costs have increased because they have a whole lot of temporary traveling nurses who cost more than it would cost to hire more nurses and give them full benefits and give them a good job with a living wage. So that's another part of our critique, that you cannot bring in, you cannot cut staff, because the jobs at King Drew have been an economic engine for people in South LA also. They're employed at the hospital, and they live in the community. So not only are the employees providing great health care, they're sustaining the economy of one of the poorest areas in the county. But they're also being able, but in addition to that, bringing in traveling nurses, outsourcing is what it is, costs more. It's not best for our community. It's not best for the county's budget. So we need to not look towards closing services as a remedy to this, because it's the result of decisions that were made beforehand.
So, Yardina, we have about 2 minutes left. I wanted to give you one of them and Larry one of them. I just wanted to know, in terms of your community input survey, in terms, what is the kind of the end result that you guys are hoping for with the community survey?
We're hoping that a strategic plan is created for the future of King Drew. We know that a lot of decisions, some bad decisions were made. We know where we are now. We know that we're in crisis. From this point on and going into the future, the community voice needs to be a part of a strategic plan that needs to happen regarding the future of the hospital. Take into account not a budget, but the needs of the community. What services need to happen to serve those 40% of people who are uninsured, those kids, those adults, those elderly? What needs to happen to serve a community that's predominantly African-American and Latino, 95%? How can the community voice be inserted into the process? So next time that something happens with King Drew, it's our hospital. It's not a county hospital that just belongs to the Board of Supervisors. We need a strategic plan going into the future, and that's what we're willing to fight for. And anybody who wants to see that happen can get on board with us and call us at 323-789-7920. Thank you so much, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at the Board of Supervisors hearing.
All right, Larry, with 30 seconds, you got the final word. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I think she sounded like she had all the answers there. But anyway, no, that's cool. I mean, this is a long thing. I mean, the whole thing, like I said, you mentioned Latinos and Blacks, that hasn't been dealt with. You know what I'm saying? The systemic stuff is what hasn't been dealt with. And in fact, you see, I'm going to call in them. Tonight, today, and tomorrow, I'm going to be calling the supervisor's office. You know, 974-22222 for Burke and the rest of 974, whatever those other numbers are for the other people. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, if you're talking about the crisis right now. Now, in the long haul, I absolutely support the whole notion of, not the notion, but the need for community, a broad-based, not only broad-based community input and support, but for participation in the decision making. And I think that's a very, very key component of all of this. And I think the agenda part of it will be nice. There are many, many other components out there besides, and the amalgam, the coming together of all those components will be what's going to perpetuate the King's Review in a very positive way, and that's going to take some time.
So they're holding a vigil tonight. The Shape the Future of King Drew is holding a vigil tonight at 6 p.m. in front of the hospital. The address is 12021 South Wilmington, so it's 120th and Wilmington Avenue. And the number for agenda for those who want to get involved is 323-789-7920. And, again, the meeting, the County Board of Supervisors meeting is tomorrow morning at, did you say 9:30 a.m.?
Yeah.
Okay, 9. And where is it again?
It's at the Olive Administration, 300 West Temple, yeah.
So it's Temple, around Temple and Grand.
Exactly.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. We've got Yardena Aaron, a research associate with Agenda, Action for Grassroots Empowerment and Neighborhood Development Alternatives, and Larry Aubrey, a columnist with the LA Sentinel.
Okay.
We'll be right back.